Welcome to Just Ask, the podcast of the Hive Collective, a digital health platform built to empower women to make educated and informed decisions about their health. I'm your co-host, Dr. Heather Quayle, a leading women's and gender-related nurse practitioner. We provide answers to the questions you may not know how to ask by interviewing experts in nursing, medicine, sexual health, and wellness. We started in 2020 with myself and colleague Dr. Tara Thompson, pharmacist, and now welcome our co-host and leading women's health expert and nurse practitioner, Jackie Piasta. This is a safe space where no question is off limits, and we advocate and encourage listeners to just ask their most intimate questions and to break down the barriers of embarrassment and taboo.
I'm Jackie Piasta, your other co-host and fellow Queen Bee of the Hive. Each month, we bring on a new guest that is an expert and healthcare innovator in their respective field. As the healthcare landscape rapidly evolves, we are excited to be on the cutting edge and have decided to evolve the podcast into the Hive Collective, a space that seeks to equip you to better navigate your health journey. To learn more about our new and exciting platform, check out our mission, vision, values, and initiatives as we discuss our rebrand in Season 4, Episode 1. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We're excited you're here and hope you enjoy our show.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. I am so excited to be here with you. This is a part two of the part one. We wanted to break it up into two podcasts for you. So I'm Dr. Heather Quayle, one of your hosts with my amazing colleague, Jackie Piasta. And we're going to dive into this great article that went into testosterone therapy use in females and showing that it really was not associated with an increased risk of cardiovascular or breast cancer risk. It was in the, was it Journal of Sexual Medicine, Jack?
Yeah, Journal of Sex Med, just this 2 weeks ago, the March 8th edition of the Journal of Sex Med.
Yeah. So we're going to dive in and talk a little bit about that this morning. And like I said, this will be part two of us article discussing.
Yeah. So this is, it's important to note, this is, you know, not a randomized controlled trial. Basically, these researchers looked at a database analysis. So observational analysis here. And they pulled it and they looked at databases from health, you know, record databases from 2009 to 2022. So quite a long span of time. And they looked at individuals, women who had more than three prescriptions for testosterone prescribed within a year. They excluded women with polycystic ovarian syndrome, any women with a prior history of heart failure, and then any individuals that were currently receiving gender-affirming care or transitioning from one gender to another. So that's what they looked at. And they looked at women ages 18 to 55 and then women older than 55. So this is pretty neat. And then they categorized it out further. So looking at women major adverse cardiac events, so like myocardial heart attacks and strokes. They looked at pulmonary embolism and deep vein thrombosis. They looked at breast cancer, and then they also looked at hirsutism, which is the medical term for hair, excess facial hair growth, more growth of hair, like in a male kind of pattern.
Yeah. So I think it's great. I think the other problem too, and I know it's not totally around this article, but I think again, for our listeners, because we get listeners from all over, we don't give enough homage to testosterone. A lot of patients are told they can't take testosterone or that it's a male hormone. And I'm really big on not gendering our hormones because testosterone absolutely should be used in females. So I think we kind of need to dive a little bit into that just to kind of talk about all the good things testosterone does do for women. I think in America, we're hearing it more and more, but I don't know how much in other countries when I check in with people in some of these other international groups.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you hit the nail on the head right there, Heather. I mean, we have gendered hormones and we've, you know, sort of relegated them to estrogen is for women and testosterone is for men. And the fact of the matter is both sexes make both hormones and we benefit from them equally, just in different quantities and ratios. You know, and I think we've also done as much as I love our global consensus statement on this, you know, safe prescribing for testosterone in women, I think it's very much just a starting point. I do feel like it does us a little bit of disservice because it really says, well, the only thing that we can safely prescribe testosterone for is low libido. And again, it also continues to keep our hormones within that realm of sexuality and, you know, our reproductive organs, and that testosterone only benefits us for the purposes of having, you know, sex. And it's so much bigger than that. The picture is so, so, so much bigger. And I think we do need to move beyond this idea of, oh, well, here's testosterone, let's take it for libido only, because we do see in clinical practice that it benefits us far more than just that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we're seeing it for other things, bones, all the things with testosterone. So I think it's just important that women have this conversation with their provider, asking them about testosterone. You have a right to have your levels tested. I mean, it's a very, very simple blood test. And if you're not getting the answers that you want, I always say maybe it's time to find a different provider, because you deserve to hear this and to have an educated discussion about it.
Well, we also have another problem too, that testosterone is still a scheduled drug. It's still, you know, listed as a controlled substance. So that puts it, you know, another barrier on that. Every time I send a testosterone prescription, I have to do two-factor authentication, which means I have to enter a password in, and then I have to enter a unique six-digit code in just to send a prescription off. I have to have a DEA, which is a separate license to prescribe controlled substances. And in the state of Georgia, my supervising physician has to review every single one of my charts that I prescribe it for. And there are some limitations as well on prescribing it virtually. So there's a lot of limitations with it. And so because it still has this sort of controlled substance tag on it, a lot of practitioners are scared of it because they're thinking, oh, okay, that's a controlled substance. It must be dangerous. It must be habit forming. It must be, and it really does sort of add another layer of difficulty to really moving beyond and getting this out there for more women and getting providers and practitioners more comfortable with prescribing it. So that's a big sort of beef I have, unfortunately, with where we're at with testosterone.
I agree. And you know, the saddest reality is, again, it's going to get me on my soapbox of the patriarchy and how patronizing. The whole reason that we actually have this control on testosterone is it came back down to the Olympics and doping. And again, male doping. And so they put a kibosh on testosterone and made it this controlled substance. Whereas
I think there was some female doping too. I think Russian female athletes got in trouble for doping on testosterone. But yeah, I mean, the inappropriate use of it, I guess.
Yeah. And so that really hurts other people. I mean, most women are not going to be doping on testosterone. And again, most of the time when you see that kind of issue, it's more of a male issue. But again, it's my whole thing of them controlling us from the womb to the grave.
Yeah. Well, and just right. I mean, it's just, so testosterone, let's explore this. What are the benefits that you see in your practice, in your patients for, I mean, other than bone? I mean, I know I love to tell this story, and it just happened a couple months ago, but I had a patient and I've been taking care of her for probably 3 or 4 years now. And we didn't do testosterone because she really was not interested in a big increase in libido. She felt like her libido was okay and that she just didn't need it. And we were doing estrogen and progesterone. And for whatever reason, we finally explored testosterone. I think she was just kind of feeling tired. And she's like, you know what? Maybe this is the missing piece. Let's try it. And she came back to me for her 3-month appointment. And she was like, I'm so mad at you, Jackie. And I said, I go, what are you talking about? She goes, you know, I'm an executive. And I said, yeah, I know you have an executive job. And she goes, this is the boardroom hormone. You have to tell your patients this. She's like, screw libido. Who cares about that? This is the boardroom hormone. She's like, I can perform my job. I had no idea I was becoming indecisive. I wasn't on my game. I wasn't on point. I wasn't feeling as assertive as I normally am. Like, I just wasn't firing on all cylinders. And I feel like myself. So I tell everybody now, Yes, it can help libido. And if you're not interested at all in stimulating your libido, we need to have a conversation about that, because it's not a sort of, you can't pick and choose. But I tell everybody now, this is the boardroom hormone. I mean, because
that's a great analogy. Yes, I see that it helps a ton with energy. It helps a ton kind of getting people's minds a little bit right. I'm a sex med provider, so I really look at it from the libido standpoint. It's life-changing for a lot of my women. Let me get into something around actually one of the side effects of testosterone, but one of the benefits of it at the same time. So I may get bashed on this, but again, I'm a sex med provider. I think about people's libido. I think about sex with pain, that it shouldn't happen. So my head is really focused in the sex space. I put patients on testosterone. A lot of times I also do another concoction that I will do of estrogen and testosterone for the vulvar tissues, but then I also use a ton of systemic testosterone. But some of my patients actually get a little bit of enlargement of the clitoris. We actually find this, and when you go to your regular OBGYN provider, oftentimes they will tell you, oh my God, testosterone, it's going to cause clitoromeglia, which is enlargement of the clitoris. It may cause deepening of the voice. You'll have more excess hair growth. And of course, I tell this to my patients, but I will tell you statistically, my patients that have problems with orgasming and they have difficulty, or they're maybe postmenopausal and their orgasms have become blunted, meaning that it's just not as powerful. They feel like their vulvar vaginal area has shriveled. It's decreased in size. The testosterone has actually caused a bit of enlargement in the clitoral tissues, and they come back so happy. Oh my gosh. If I am participating in sex on my own with just masturbation, I've noticed a difference. My orgasms are not as blunted. Or, hey, my partner has noticed that it's easier now to get to the nerves of the clitoris. And so for me, being a sexual medicine provider, that's a really big deal.
I agree. I've had patients say, like, I feel dead down there. And when they come back, they're like, oh, it's alive again. Like, there, I have feeling, I have sensation, I'm responsive. It's responsive to stimulation. It just feels, you know, back again. I totally agree with you. I utilize that a lot. I think that the clitoral megaly, or the enlargement of the clitoris, is blown way out of proportion. 100%. We are not giving doses to women that are going to cause any type of, you know, they do this in the gender affirming community, where they really do want to get those organs to a place where they can provide gender affirming surgeries. But yes, we're not doing anything near that in the in the cisgender female world, and the clitoral megaly is blown way out of proportion. Most of my patients are thrilled. They are really happy with the slight increase in size, and their partners are happy too, because they can be very easily directed into the place they should be focusing on.
100%. The other thing I want to point out too is we talk a lot about ISWISH, the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Medicine. They are sexual health. We are going to attach that article here for our providers, but also for our listeners, so that you can take it to your provider to be more knowledgeable. Unfortunately, it is the only consensus statement we have. It is for the postmenopausal women. It does not mean that we cannot use this for the peri or the premenopausal women, but we do have a consensus statement that helps just with guidance of care. And so we really try to be evidence-based, but of course there are times we're going to do things off label with caution and things of that nature.
Well, and that's what's really cool about this retrospective analysis study here, is that it looked at women aged 18 to 55 on systemic testosterone therapy. And what it showed in this study that we talked about just earlier in the podcast is that women on the testosterone therapy had a lower risk of cardiovascular events to women not. They had a lower risk of deep vein thrombosis, a similar risk of breast cancer. So they didn't see any difference in the breast cancer risk. And then women that were older than 55 years of age, again, had a similar risk of cardiac events, a deep vein thrombosis, and pulmonary embolism, but they had a significantly lower risk of breast cancer, which was really interesting. Women greater than 56 on testosterone therapy, lower risk of breast cancer. So this is, yes, the consensus statement says use it in postmenopausal women, but I love this study because it shows that we are doing it off-label, that there are women that are on systemic therapy and it's not increasing their risks of any of these things that we are freaking out about.
I think the biggest thing we hear is the DVTs and hormones. Why are we so damn scared about DVTs and hormones when we give such high doses of birth control pills to our patients as opposed to hormone therapy?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. So this is really, really neat data. I would love to have, obviously, all clinicians, we'd love to have some randomized controlled trials on this. But, you know, this is better than nothing for sure. And, you know, if you're a woman out there and you really feel like something's missing and you're feeling like you're just dragging and you've ruled kind of other things out and you feel like you're, you know, your sexual life isn't where you want it to be and you're not feeling, you know, mentally like on point, firing on all cylinders, like you've got your, you know, assertive, decisive, clear-minded, you know, all these sorts of things. You know, I would definitely consider, you know, working testosterone into your regimen if it seems right for you and you can find a clinician that's on board with it. But also, you know, there are some side effects that we don't want to downplay and you just have to work with a clinician that knows what they're doing and can help you navigate being, I always say, a good steward of the medication, using it smartly, knowing what you're getting yourself into. I don't build a fire and then be upset it's hot, you know, that sort of thing. So, but it's often one of our most overlooked therapies in women's in the women's hormone landscape.
Exactly. And I'm going to give Jackie and I a little plug. If you buy our course or you become our patient, you get our course for free. We talk about this a lot in the sexual health module. So just a little plug for us, right?
Yeah, no, right. I mean, it is. There's so much information out there that is not readily available to individuals, to patients, so much misinformation that's being given to people by their healthcare providers. And also misinformation on the other side. We see a lot in the world of like the hormone pellet world where they're telling women that this will fix everything that ails them and this, that, and the other way. So I kind of just bringing it down to earth and saying, all right, this is what actually is the deal. And let's,
I agree. I will say, kind of in wrapping up, I actually was on Instagram this morning, before we started our podcast, and Balance app, which I'll also put it in here, did a beautiful, three pieces on your hormones. They looked at progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone. And I want to make sure to link those here because it said all the great uses for testosterone, and Balance is just a really good app, that I always like to plug. And there's just so many free resources. So I'll make sure to add that in here in our notes as well.
100%. The Balance app, it's actually developed by a British physician, Dr. Louise Newsom. She is a rock star in the menopause space and just such a gift to all of us clinicians and in like regular people. So 100%, get that app if you don't have it. And she's got some beautiful graphics that her team has worked on.
I know. Can we all have a team like that? Can they work for us here? I'm just like, this is what's in my mind of what I want to create, but I can't.
I know.
Yeah, it was beautiful. That made my morning today. So
100%. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for being with us. Hopefully we bit this off into bite-sized pieces so that you could listen to it on your walks, in the car, in between, on your breaks, all the things. That's kind of what we want to be, is these short little quips. And then we also have our longer podcasts in here as well, too.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, everybody. And we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Just Ask podcast. And thank you for our amazing panelists today and every day. Feel free to contact us publicly or privately with your questions and thoughts. We do not provide medical advice, but we can point you in the right direction and provide resources. You can learn more about the topics we've discussed in this episode by viewing the show notes for this podcast and following us at Just Ask ATL on Facebook and Instagram. Our podcast is available on all of your favorite platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, Google, Amazon, and iHeartRadio. Please make sure you subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. If you found value in this discussion, please share this podcast with friends or leave a rating on iTunes. Thanks again for listening. We can't wait for you to join us for the next show.